This is a Clearview Original.
This episode of the Clearview Today Show is brought to you by Mighty Muscadine. David, how's your immune system lately?
Honestly, it's in critical condition.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. What if I told you that similar to our immune systems, which produce more antibodies when under attack, the muscadine grape also produces more damage-fighting antioxidants when under stress from the environment it grows in, which leads to a whole host of health benefits.
I might just gobble them up like Tic Tacs.
Well, my friend, MightyMuscadine.com has everything you could ever need to take your health game to the next level. All their products are gluten-free, trans-fat-free, non-GMO, dairy-free, and best of all, they actually taste delicious.
I had some of their protein powder just this morning, and it is delicious.
I know that's right.
Their grape juice, delicious.
Tell it.
Their antioxidant beverages, delicious. Their shampoo, their body lotion, all delicious.
What?
And I'll tell you something else. Mighty Muscadine believes in protecting God's great earth for generations to come. That's why their farming and production is environmentally friendly, and they make every effort to protect and preserve without the use of pesticides and herbicides.
You ate shampoo, though.
The only problem is I'm a little short on funds.
Well, fret no more, my friend. You can visit MightyMuscadine.com right now and use the promo code TODAY. That's T-O-D-A-Y to unlock exclusive savings at checkout. Again, that's promo code T-O-D-A-Y at checkout to enjoy a significant discount on your purchase of Mighty Muscadine products. And listen, every single dollar you spend using that promo code helps support us here at the Clearview Today Show.
Visit their website now. That's MightyMuscadine.com and experience the difference firsthand. Remember, that promo code is TODAY, T-O-D-A-Y.
Welcome to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm John Galantis.
You can find more information about our show on our website, clearviewtodayshow.com. If you have any questions for Dr. Shah or suggestions for new topics, write in and let us know. We love hearing from you. You can text 252-582-5028 or send us an email at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com.
That's right. And you can help us keep the conversation going by supporting the show. You can share it online with your friends and family. Leave us a good review on iTunes or Spotify, anywhere you get your podcasting content from. We're going to leave a couple of links right there in the description so you can do just that.
Today is March the 29th, which means that our Date the Word is coming from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 29. Do not devise evil against your neighbor, for he dwells by you for safety's sake.
You know, this is something that we've talked about often on the show, is that God has put people in our lives to help us,
yeah,
to help guide us. We can't live the Christian life on our own. Of course, we need Jesus Christ. Of course, we need God's power to help us live this Christian life. But the people that he's put in your life, he's put there for a reason. Mm-hmm. It's to help you grow and to help you flourish. And so don't do things to harm your neighbor. I think we even said that on yesterday's Date the Word. Don't do things that are going to make them stumble. Mm-hmm. You know, you're there to build them up, because just like he's put them in your life to make you better and to help you, so also he's put you in other people's lives.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say that very same thing. That goes both ways. So the people that are in your life, your coworkers, your teammates, literally your next door neighbors.
That's right.
Are there on purpose. Mm-hmm. They're there for a reason. And it's so that you can be impacted by them, mm-hmm, but it's also so that you can impact them for the gospel.
Yeah.
So every interaction you have is an opportunity to point people to Christ and to display the love of God.
I think we're all guilty of this, me more so than anybody, because I feel this for sure. There are people in my life who are literally part of the scenery. Like I'll drive past them and they're out in the yards mowing the grass or whatever, and they may as well be like NPCs in a video game. They in a sense, they don't exist, right? And so that's something that through 2024 I've tried to sort of get better at, or by God's grace, improve, mm-hmm, in seeing people, even people that fade into the mush of background, as people and people that God has a plan for.
Yeah.
And it really does help you sort of take account of how you see people, mm-hmm, and how you view people.
Yeah, every interaction becomes purposeful at that
point.
Right.
That's right. I just want to remind you, this episode is brought to you in part by the Date the Word app. All of these Date the Words that we share with you every single day are coming from that app. You can download it for free right now on iPhone and Android.
And in addition to being March the 29th today is also Good Friday.
That's right.
We've gone through Holy Week as we're headed into Easter weekend. Today's a very special day and a very special episode for us. You know,
we have a Good Friday service going on today.
We do.
That's right.
And you know, several years ago, Dr. Shah began a series on Good Friday. It's sort of like a once a year series, but on the statements of Jesus from the cross.
Yes. So,
you know, it's significant what Christ says in his final moments before his before and during his crucifixion.
That's right.
So we're going to dive into that today. But if you guys have any questions about Good Friday, what that means, how you should celebrate it as a believer, maybe if you're like us growing up here in the South, Good Friday celebration wasn't always a thing that was prioritized.
Yeah, that's true.
We're going to talk some more about that today. Write in and let us know, 252-582-5028, or visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hey, hey, you.
Me?
No, not you. You, listening to the Clearview Today Show. You're here right now because you love Christian talk radio, and I'm 100% down for that. But what if I told you that Clearview Church also produces original music?
That's right. At Clearview, we're more than just a church. We're a vibrant family where everyone is encouraged to worship God right where they are.
We wanted to make sure that your worship doesn't stop when you walk out the door on Sunday morning.
Our music is more accessible than ever. You can worship God in any situation. In the car, at home, in the gym, while cleaning your house, wherever you are, we'll be right there with you.
You can check us out on Apple Music or on Spotify, anywhere digital music is consumed. We got a few singles out right now. We have an EP out as well. And right now, at this moment, actually, we are working on our first ever full-length original album. Hopefully that's going to be out sometime this coming summer.
Clearview Worship on iTunes and Spotify is your 24/7 place for inspiration and worship. Follow us today and let God's message of hope, love, and faith be a guiding light in your life.
Amen. Let's hop back into the show.
Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Abaddon Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028.
That's right, and we are here in the Clearview Today studio with Dr. Abaddon Shah, who is a PhD in New Testament textual criticism, professor at Carolina University, author, full-time pastor of Clearview Church in North Carolina, and the host of today's show. Dr. Shah, we had our Good Friday service earlier today. This is something we do every single year, and I got to say, it's become one of my favorite things that we do.
Yeah.
To see people take off lunch in the middle of the day and come here to celebrate and really just give thanks for the cross. And I want to, first and foremost, I just want to say thank you for doing that and making it a priority, because over the years I've seen that become less and less and less common in churches to actually commemorate Good Friday. And I think we've talked about this in person, but I don't know that we've talked about it on the show as much. Maybe we have, that we... I want to be careful how I say this, so correct me if my verbiage is wrong or if I'm thinking about the wrong way, but it's not that we overemphasize the resurrection, but we do lose sight of how important, like, Easter is a huge thing in Western Christianity. Good Friday is like, it's good to do that.
It's important because it leads to Easter.
Right.
Like, it's the avenue to get us where we're going.
But the cross is really the pinnacle. The
cross is the pinnacle of Christianity. Mm-hmm. Without the cross, there is no Christianity. Now, what people say is, without the empty tomb. Now, we like to say that. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, now we can say that the cross was worth it. Mm. And that's true to some extent, that you can almost say now, because of the empty tomb, that everything that was done at the cross or on the cross is now ratified. Mm-hmm. It's now authenticated. It's now has the seal of God on it. Mm-hmm. So the work is complete and it's verifiable and it is authentic. Mm-hmm.
He didn't say it is finished at the resurrection. He said it at the cross.
Yes.
And I think one of the things that you told me that has really helped me, and I'm trying to phrase it right, is that without the cross, there would be no resurrection.
Right.
But once the cross happened, there was no chance that the resurrection wouldn't. There was always going to be.
It was inevitable at that point.
Yeah. There better be a resurrection.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's it. Where do you think that temptation to hurry past the cross comes from? Or just that propensity to kind of skip over it?
I think it's because of our modern day Christianity. And I'm talking about the past 100 or 150 years. Mm-hmm. Let's just say it 150 years. Because now it's all about the victory.
Yeah, I was literally just thinking that. I was like, I wonder if it's this propensity, like you said, to just claim victory.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, I just want to get to the finish line. I want to say we win.
It's about the power. Mm-hmm. They want to talk about the power. Now, the power that we have resurrection power. And that actually is very accurate. The Bible talks about the resurrection power. The same power that God exerted, which is not much exertion, in raising his son from the grave is now the power that is operative in us. Mm-hmm. But our Christianity or certain brands of Christianity, which are very vocal, which are very loud, they focus so much on the power aspect because they want the power. They want the power to overcome problems in their lives. They want power to open doors. They want power to dazzle and razzle their own people and the lost world. They want this power. What they don't realize is, yes, resurrection power is working, but it's not the kind of power that has lights and sound and flashes and thunders. It's a very, very quiet power, and yet it is the power that moves not just a mountain, but the entire universe. That's a very different kind of power.
Right.
That's a great point.
But this brand of Christianity, and you know where I'm going with that, for the past 150 years, that is so enthralled and enamored by power, Christianity, that they want the resurrection part because that's where they see power. The grave broke open and Jesus came out and he has proclaimed victory, and then he won over the devil, and now you can win over the devil and you can have life out of the grave, and you, and a lot of her songs are going in that direction too.
That's true.
And there is an element of truth there. But I don't think for a single moment that was the main point.
Right.
That's a great point. For the focus to shift to look at what I can do instead of a look at what Christ has done.
Yeah. Right. Because of the resurrection of what Jesus did, look what I can do.
Yeah.
And that's what the focus is.
Yeah. And it's not enough. And I think you kind of hit the nail on the head there. It's not enough just to give credit so that I can enjoy this victory.
Right.
You know, like I'm going to have this power. I'm going to give Jesus the credit, but I'm going to enjoy this power and I'm going to work with it rather than say.
And it's your power.
Right. Right.
And I do agree with them. To a certain extent, yes, you do have that power. Yes, the resurrection power that is available to us. Yes, 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 yes. But it's not the way they think it is.
Right, right. And it's another thing as well. Since you're talking about worship, because one thing that we do at Clearview is we do sing songs about victory and resurrection, but there's always at least one song, and there's always at some point in the message where the cross has to be brought up.
Absolutely.
It's a rule. I would say it's even a rule. It's not a hard and fast rule that we've put like, hey, this better happen, but it's a rule that like that we have kind of unspokenly agreed on because we know that that's the cross has to be brought up at some point.
Expectation.
And I would say even with you, the cross has to be where you end up. If that makes sense. And and it's in the 10 years that I've been here, that's been the case. And I think that's conviction coming through. And I think that's really, that's been encouraging for me. And I think it's encouraging for the people in our church.
Absolutely. And so growing up, I saw that proper balance and emphasis. Yes. Easter morning was fun and exciting. And the message was about the resurrection and how Jesus rose from the grave. And all of that was wonderful. But Good Friday was a very important time. Also, I have to point out the resurrection or the Easter Sunday service was far more attended, well attended than the Good Friday service.
Really?
But still, people were there.
True.
People
True.
Were there.
Yeah.
And 3-hour long services, you almost feel like you're suffering.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I remember my dad up on the stage, and I think I shared this before, and you know, it's afternoon. And usually March or April, so the weather is already getting warm, and because you know by May it is scorching hot in India, at least where I grew up.
And you're hungry at this point.
Hungry, hot, and people who typically don't preach are preaching, and they're talking like this.
Did you have to dress up real nice?
No,
no,
no. This one was kind of like
casual,
wear nice clothes.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
But usually we didn't wear bright clothes.
Gotcha.
We kind of wore sort of grayish type clothes.
Yeah.
Gotcha, gotcha.
This was supposed to be a time of, in a sense, mourning. So you wouldn't like show up in like all bright colors.
Not like Easter Sunday where you wear like the Dumb and Dumber suits.
The bright green and the bright pinks and the bright
yellow
blues.
Not that.
Now, we never had that anyways, by the way.
Really?
Easter growing up in India, it was never bright colors.
Really?
No.
Oh, what was it?
It was just whatever, nice new clothes.
Okay.
Yeah, it was, but it was never all these colors that you see here.
Yeah,
I still have to get used to that. It's like, Easter, oh, it's Easter, you got to wear that.
I feel like especially Easter in the South, you look like a pack of peeps. Like
yes,
walking
you
into
do.
Church.
Yep. You look like marshmallows.
Fluorescent.
Real pastel colors, the greens and the yellows and pinks.
Growing up, we got new clothes on Christmas Day and Easter Day, and sometimes on New Year's Day as well.
I remember you telling us that.
Rarely on birthday.
Yeah.
But Christmas and Easter, new clothes.
Yeah.
And so we wore new clothes.
You know, starting back in, this is something that I've been meaning to, because we had this show last year on Good Friday, but I don't think we started this. In 2017, you started doing the Good Friday services, taking a look at each of Jesus' statements from the cross.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And each of them, it was a cool because it was like seven sermons, but stretched out over 7 years.
Yeah.
So I figured it'd be kind of fun if we just took a
look at it. It was a 7-year long sermon.
It was. Yeah. It was a 7-year series.
Yeah. But the annual installment on Good Friday.
Yeah, it was kind of cool. Do you want to look at some of those statements today? Maybe one of them from the cross?
Absolutely. So we don't know for sure the exact order of these statements because we are gleaning them from all four gospels.
Right.
But let's begin with the first gospel, which is the Gospel of Matthew.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now scholars will say it's Mark in priority and Mark's gospel. Some say Matthew in priority and all that. I'm not getting into all the synoptic problem issues.
Do they mean like chronologically when it was written?
Based on source and form criticism.
Okay.
And a little bit of redaction criticism. People have all kinds of ideas as it's not Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. It was Mark and Matthew, Luke, and then John.
I don't want to go down that rabbit trail, but is it significant which one was written first?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so. Because it helps you understand the development in the church's understanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not that the previous ones were, or the earlier ones were wrong,
mm-hmm.
or they have been superseded,
mm-hmm.
or there is no such thing as abrogation.
Right.
Like Islam has the doctrine of abrogation, which is later revelation override the previous one.
Hmm.
We don't believe in the doctrine of abrogation. We believe Old and New Testament go hand in hand.
Right.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, are not abrogated based on who came first and who came last.
Gotcha.
But it does help you study them a certain way.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Okay?
So the current consensus in scholarship is Mark wrote first.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's Matthew.
Okay.
Based on my study. But that's for another time.
Gotcha.
But for our purpose, the first statement, which is found only in Matthew's gospel, also, Mark has only one, which is this, Matthew 27:45. Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is, my God, why have you
forsaken me?
Mm. So this is known as the cry of dereliction.
Mm.
That's what it's called.
Well, I think that's one of the things that people maybe get hung up on. And maybe it's good that we're tackling that one first because it's like, is he doubting God? Is he having second thoughts? Is he regretting the cross?
Yeah.
You know?
There are several things I want to point out to you before we talk about that issue.
Right.
Was he doubting? Was he struggling? What's the issue there? The first is darkness all over the land.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when was the last time in the Bible you find out about a darkness all over the land?
Well, you just preached on it not long ago. I believe it was Egypt.
That's right.
In Exodus.
Yeah.
In fact, we were in Egypt just about a month ago,
mm-hmm.
and it was awesome to just think about, imagine this land in pitch dark.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
And it was so bad that people wouldn't even move.
Yeah. Not like dark at nighttime.
No,
you can't see. Yeah. In front of you.
Yeah, see, when you see like the little kids' illustrations, you see like storm clouds, but it's like, no, this is like, what did SpongeBob say? This is an ordinary darkness. This is advanced darkness.
Advanced darkness.
So, kind of goes back to Exodus chapter 10, where there was darkness all over the land due to Pharaoh's hard-heartedness, mm-hmm. right? So, God sent this darkness over the land, and it was a darkness of rebellion in the face of God.
Mm.
The people,
mm-hmm.
led by Pharaoh, were rejecting God, and it was their darkness of sin.
Mm. So that's sort of mirrored in the crucifixion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The rebelliousness of the people who have put Jesus on the cross.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There was darkness all over the land. So imagine that. You know, we see movies or shows that have the crucifixion depicted.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see those three crosses and the soldiers and a group of disciples with Mary and Mary Magdalene and all that, Mary the mother of Jesus and Mary Magdalene there, and John the Apostle. And then you see the crowd, you see the Pharisees, the scribes, the chief priests just mocking Jesus. You can see even the thieves on the cross and Jesus kind of head hung or looking sideways or looking up or whatever. But if you go by what the scriptures are saying, mm-hmm. you couldn't see anything.
It was dark, complete darkness.
Yeah. So imagine people are, like you could close your eyes and walk around for a little bit, although you'll fall off that mountain. But you could pretty much just stand like this. Ever done that? Like as a kid?
Mm-hmm. And you try to like open your eyes to see if there's any difference and there's not. It starts to mess with your head after a little while.
Yeah. Like I remember as a little boy, going at night, had to go to the bathroom or whatever. Yeah. Half the time, eyes are not even open.
Yeah, you just feeling around.
Mom and dad just taking you to the bathroom, and you're just like, just walking.
That, and as you get older, you can kind of, know where stuff is in your house enough to get around. But if something's out of place, man, you're going down.
You can like step over it without having to look.
But
like
that's
left
how
your
that scene was, and it was in the middle of the day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just complete dark. I mean, you can cut the darkness with a knife.
Yeah.
Like they say.
That's like you say. You typically see it and it's just in the shade. Like some storm clouds come over and it's just a little, it looks kind of blue.
Yeah.
But it's like, no, this is like dark.
Representing their sin, their lawlessness. And also the fact that you are trying to kill God.
Yeah.
Right.
And succeeding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But even then we know that as Jesus gave his life, no one took it from him.
Right.
He gave his life.
He laid it down.
But just that heinous act, it's just light had to go off.
And not only that, but we've said this on the show too. It's not like they didn't know. It wasn't like they were like, oh, we killed this guy, but oops, he turned out to be the Son of God. It's like they believed he was.
Because Jesus said that in the parable, right? The parable of the this landowner who went away and he sent people back to his vineyard to check on the workers.
Mm-hmm.
And when those supervisors or the foremen came, the vineyard workers saw them and they killed some, mistreated the others. And then the vineyard owner said, I'm going to send my son. At least they will listen to him. And what did those people do?
They killed him.
They said, here's the son. If we kill him, we get everything.
Yeah.
Here's the heir.
It's laid out pretty plain.
It makes sense. What could go wrong?
Yeah. To me, that is the craziest thing. And Jesus gave that parable because he knew what these chief priests and Pharisees and scribes were thinking.
Yeah, it's not like they, again, it's not like they, he said, hey, I'm the Son of God. And they're like, we don't believe you. You got to be
isn't that what people preach most of the time?
Yeah. That they just didn't believe.
Yeah.
And it was their unbelief. It's like, no, what happens if they believed him?
Well, I think people latch onto that statement that Jesus gives on the cross, forgive them for they don't know what they do. And it was like they're just ignorant of what is happening. No, they don't understand the magnitude
of what they're doing.
Right.
Yeah.
They knew full well who Jesus was.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just that fact that you have no idea the judgment that is coming your way.
Golly. Right. Oh my goodness. Every time I think about it, my
it
chest
just makes you shudder. Your chest gets tight. I mean, just to think about what that
take out God.
Yeah, just kill him,
and then
what? What do you get?
Yeah,
what you get to hold on to your piddly little power on earth.
We rule this thing.
No. I guess
when creation itself is breaking apart because of what you're doing, what are you going to rule? Nothing.
Yeah, exactly. So, and you can't do that anyways.
Yeah.
So when Jesus said, my God, instead of saying, Father, Father, which he does say, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.
Mm-hmm.
But here he simply uses the word, my God, my God. So the question is Jesus really being abandoned by God? Or is he just feeling abandoned?
Yeah, there's a big difference.
Yeah.
Because there are some people who will say the Father turned his face away. The Trinity was broken apart.
Yeah. Right. I would say, in a sense, it's neither.
Mm-hmm.
I believe what's happening here is that he's quoting from Psalm 22, verse 1. It says, my God, why have you forsaken me? This is David's words in the face of his suffering. And as he's going through this trial where he feels abandoned, he is not only just crying out in his pain and in his abandonment or feeling of abandonment, but he's also prophesying.
Mm-hmm.
Prophesying what the Messiah would one day do.
Right. There's poetry.
Right.
There's poetry in what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
So in Psalm 22:1, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning?
Do you think this is a good place to understand the genres and say that this is poetry, and people too many times have tried to make hardcore theology off of something that's meant to be poetic?
Yeah, I think so. And it's not just poetry. You need to understand the intent behind it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For one, this is a man mm-hmm. speaking.
Right.
But in that speaking, one day his son, remember Jesus was the son of David as right. well as being the son of God.
Right.
He came through the lineage of David. That he was also saying, one day someone else is going to sit on my throne mm-hmm. who will also feel abandoned or speak out because of the sin poured upon him. And this is coming, and you better look and wait. And when that happens, and when that person quotes that verse, know who that is.
Yeah.
So when Jesus says those words, that should have been proof positive to those Pharisees, scribes, chief priests that, you know, we need to go and stop this thing.
Yeah.
Let's stop this. Let's take him down.
Yeah. But they powered through.
Those words like, should have been like an alarm for them. Should have been like, hello, hey, remember this? Remember the last person that said this?
Yeah.
So part of him saying that was fulfilling a prophecy that David gave. It was prophetic.
And also one more sign. Remember they were sign seekers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Show us a sign. Mm-hmm. Show us a sign. And Jesus said, I've shown you many signs. No more signs will be given to you. Mm-hmm. But this was in a sense, all right. Here it is.
The final
saying. Yeah. And they knew. This was not like a random, where did I hear that?
Yeah.
These were part of the messianic statements.
Yeah.
So they would have known.
Yes.
It wasn't like a.
Now, where did I hear that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, in the marketplace. No. Oh, at that Roman play.
No, I think Meemaw said it. Did Meemaw
say used to
that?
Say that.
Yeah, I think, but it was something else. Think.
No, they knew.
Yeah.
Oh, he just quoted King David,
mm-hmm.
and that is supposed to be a messianic statement.
And also the land is in pitch black darkness.
And many of the things are happening.
That's right.
My thing. All of this, like, this isn't just like, oh, wow, a thundercloud rolled in. This is darkness that can be felt. I mean, that should be a warning sign that, hey, maybe we ought to pump the brakes
here. I mean, here, like in North Carolina, if the clouds turn just a little bit purple, people freak out.
Yeah, you better go to the store and get milk and bread.
But here, like, the earth is splitting apart. There's earthquakes. The veil is getting torn.
Right.
Darkness all over the land. He's quoting King David, and they're like, I think we got to see
just
this one through, fellas.
Through.
I mean, if you don't believe that, listeners, viewers, whoever you are, wherever you are, if you're still confused about this, I just recommend that you go home and read Psalm 22.
Mm-hmm.
Can I just read a couple of verses?
Yeah, do it.
All right, so here it is. Let me go to verse 14. Okay? Psalm 22, verse 14. I am poured out like water, and all of my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It has melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death. For dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They
pierced my hands and feet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That didn't happen to David.
Yeah, that's true.
That is a messianic prophecy. What Jesus was saying when he said those words is Psalm 22, boys.
Yeah.
And
pull
girls.
It out.
Yeah.
Turn in your Bibles.
Yeah, turn your Bibles.
It's not over. I can count all my bones. They look and stare at me.
They
divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. And at that moment, I don't know how they were doing that in the dark.
Yeah,
they were like, here you go.
Just trying to feel it out.
Like, I don't think that's a...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is a messianic psalm that Jesus quoted.
Yeah. And I think that helps cast a lot in fact, it really is that. It's not that he was doubting from the cross. If anything, he was displaying even more confirmation.
He was doubling down on
who
he is.
Yeah, that's a great...
So there is no broken Trinity. There is no Jesus conflicted on the cross. No, this was... Or the Trinity temporarily being split apart. No, this is Jesus once again without any hesitation, declaring that he is exactly who he said he was, and he had just fulfilled one more big piece of the puzzle.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. I love it.
That's so important for us, especially as we head into Good Friday. As we're celebrating Good Friday today, I pray that you guys would think about what we've talked about on this episode, what Christ has accomplished for you on the cross, and how there are so many signs that remind us that he is the Son of God. And like we've said, you know, the cross is the pinnacle. It's
That's
it's
right.
the peak of Christianity. So if you don't believe that, man, write in and let us know at the show. If you have questions about that, we'd love to help you take those next steps in your walk with God and let you know how the cross can change your life. Write in and let us know how today's episode impacted you, 252-582-5028, or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. And don't forget, you can partner with us financially on that same show or on that same website. Every gift that you give goes to building up this radio show and spreading the message of the gospel, the message of the cross to the nations. John, we're coming up on Easter weekend. Any thoughts for our listeners before we close?
If you are in a church that didn't do anything for Good Friday, number one, thank you for spending Good Friday here with us at the Clearview Today Show listening. Make sure you celebrate Easter at your church this weekend. If you don't have a church family, you can come right here to Clearview Church in Henderson, North Carolina. But just as you're reflecting on this Easter season, just consider what Christ has done for us. Yes, we have that power in Jesus Christ, but it only came because of the blood. So it all comes together. It's not like you just focus on the cross on Friday and the empty tomb on Sunday. It's all one magnificent story that he's done for us. So I would say just give thanks this weekend.
Amen. Go find somewhere to worship. Find a church family to worship with. Hope you guys have a wonderful Easter, and we'll see you Monday right here on Clearview Today.